Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church. We're located in Brookfield, Wisconsin. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, Counseling Pastor and Senior Citizens Pastor. And for the last three sessions, I think we have been focusing our attention on what it means to forgive and how to forgive. We've had numbers of people in our church coming into our studio and giving us the opportunity to hear their stories of their suffering times and what God has been teaching them, and we will begin that again very, very soon. But I wanted to take just these four sessions and share with you what God's Word says about how can I learn to forgive. And we saw in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13 the answer. Verse 13 says that as Christ forgave, so also do ye. And so we saw that Christ forgave those that crucified him by suffering for their sins. Secondly, he forgave by praying for his enemies. And thirdly, he forgave by envisioning God's higher purpose in allowing the pain. And you and I have to do the same thing. Now, as we begin to see what God's higher purpose is, well, we begin to understand that God's got a plan. And that's conformity to his son, Jesus Christ. God's got a process, and that's suffering. And we finished our last broadcast by talking about dying to self, because it talks about the fellowship of his sufferings in Philippians 3:10, being made conformable unto his death, and that's death to self. So that's God's plan and God's process. What is God's purpose? It's our ministry to others. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." And so the Lord says, I want to use your sufferings to have a ministry to other people. We don't like that kind of ministry. That's not the kind of ministry we necessarily sign up for. And if we were to have a ministry fair at the church, and we'd have opportunity to work with teenagers, opportunity to work with the children, opportunities to disciple someone, opportunity to, and those would all have volunteers. But boy, if we said, okay, how many of you will sign up for the ministry of suffering? I think that sheet would probably be blank, because that's not something we're interested in. But yet we've seen in the last couple of times, that's God's process of making us to become more like Jesus Christ. Because as people watch you and me suffer, and as they watch us reflect the spirit and the love and the grace and the forgiveness of Christ, as they watch that, they begin to understand there is a God in heaven. And I don't know how in the world you're able to forgive that person like that, but wow, we really feel like we're seeing God in action. Okay, there's your ministry to others. It may be someone at church that has so drastically hurt you that you don't even want to go to church anymore. And I know numbers of people who have dropped out of church because they've been burned. Guess what? God wants to use that burning situation to make you more like Jesus Christ. Somebody put it this way. When God takes me out of the oven, I want him to be able to say, "Well done." You know what? God puts all of us into the oven of suffering. And others are watching our suffering times. And God's the one that determines the length of our stay in the oven and the higher the temperature in the oven. But when he takes you out, will he be able to say, "Well done"? Done. And that's God's plan, so that you can develop a ministry to others. As they watch your life, they're able to say, "I've seen Jesus in you." And now it's no fun, because as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, God comforts us in all our tribulation that we can comfort others by the comfort we ourselves are being comforted. In other words, as you see that, Paul is saying, right now you are going through suffering. And God wants you right now to have a ministry in the lives of other people. You see, God doesn't allow us to go through suffering and say, okay, you're cool. Now, develop a ministry from that suffering time. God still allows us to go through suffering so people can watch it happen. And they can see Christianity in progress. And so many times we miss the whole concept of what God is trying to do. An anonymous writer put it this way. I asked God to take away my sin. He said, no, it's not for me to take away, but for you to give it up. I asked God to make my handicapped child whole. He said, no, her spirit is whole. Her body is only temporary. I asked God to grant me patience. He said, no. Patience is a byproduct of tribulations. It isn't granted. It's earned. I asked God to give me happiness. He said, no. I give you blessings. Happiness is up to you. I asked God to spare me pain. He said, no. Suffering draws you apart from worldly cares and brings you closer to me. I asked God to make my spirit grow. He said, no, you must grow on your own, but I'll prune you to make you fruitful. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. God said, no, I'll give you life so that you may enjoy all things. I asked God to help me love others as much as he loves me. God said, ah, finally, you have the idea. To love others as much as God loves me. Now you know how to forgive, but the choice is to do what you've learned. In fact, the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Are you willing to suffer for the sins of the offender like Jesus did? Because Jesus said, if you truly want to forgive, then you have to choose this suffering as yours. You have to accept it. You have to embrace it. And God even wants you to come to the point that you thank him for it. You're willing to suffer for the sins of the offender because Jesus did. Are you praying for the offender like Jesus commanded? Now that's something that you either will obey or disobey. But if you choose to disobey, if you choose to say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to pray for that person because they don't deserve or whatever, you're making a choice to sin. Because he said in Matthew 5:44-45, pray for those who despitefully use you. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. If you ever want to get over bitterness and learn how to forgive someone, you must begin to pray. And then lastly, are you searching for God's higher purpose in allowing the pain? God has a plan. He's got a purpose for allowing the pain. And it could be that you're listening to me this morning and you're saying, Pastor Hoffman, there's no way in the world that I can offer anybody forgiveness because I have never accepted God's forgiveness first. And that's what I need to do first, and how true that is. If there's never been a time in your life that you have personally repented of your sins and trusted Christ and his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave for the payment of your sin, then you need to experience God's forgiveness first. And it could be that in coming to the Lord, you'll begin to understand what it truly means to forgive. Because you know, all of us need to be forgiven. Ernest Hemingway told a story years ago of a Spanish father and his teenage son. The relationship between the dad and the son became so strained and eventually damaged that the rebellious son, whose name was Paco, a common Spanish name, Paco decided to run away from home. And for a long, long time, the father began a search and continued to search to try to find Paco. And as a last resort, exhausted father placed an ad in a Madrid newspaper, hoping maybe that his son would see the ad and respond to it. This is what the ad said. Dear Paco, please meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon. All is forgiven. Love, Father. As Hemingway tells the story, the next day at noon, in front of the newspaper office, there were 800 Pacos, all seeking forgiveness from their fathers. Well, maybe you're like Paco. Maybe you've been carrying around a load of guilt and wanting forgiveness, but not knowing where to find it. I'm here to tell you, your God in heaven wants to forgive you. In fact, he loves you so much, he made the first move. Just as Paco's father ran the ad in the paper, in the same way, God sent his son to die on a Roman cross. And Jesus said, if I'm lifted up, talking about the cross, I will draw all men to myself. And along with all those Pacos who showed up at the newspaper office, we are invited to come as well. And it could be that God is speaking to your heart this morning. And you could just bow your head right where you are, unless you're driving. And if you are, just pull off to the side of the road or pray while you're driving and looking straight forward. Dear Lord, I'm like Paco. I desperately have rebelled against God. And I'm tired of running. And dear God, I believe that you love me and sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to forgive me of my sins. Please come into my life today. I accept you as my personal Savior, and I want my life to change. This could be the most exciting day in your life. If you pray and receive Christ as your personal Savior today, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know that God has begun a good work in you. We'd love to send you some information on how to begin to live the Christian life by just writing to us at Brookside Baptist Church. But maybe I'm speaking to someone else who is a believer, who does know Jesus Christ, who does know what it means to have had your sins forgiven by Christ. But you also know what it means not to be forgiving to others. You're forgiven, but you're not forgiving. And that is the formula for misery. And I would encourage you today, as I said to the others to whom I was speaking a moment ago, just bow your head right now. Turn your heart over to the Lord and simply say, Lord, forgive me for my bitterness and my anger. And Father, work in my life. I want to follow the example of Jesus Christ in learning how to forgive and actually becoming a forgiving Christian. And if you make that decision today, remember, it's an ongoing decision. It's something you will do day after day, month after month, but God will change your heart. And God may even change the hearts of those who have hurt you. I trust that these short Bible studies have been a help. I'm praying that you'll do what God has spoken. Until next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.